Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Yes, sit down and listen closely, because the story we're about to dive into isn't just another courtroom drama. No, it's got all the makings of something much more sinister. Imagine this: a music mogul at the height of fame and influence, Sean Diddy Combs, facing not just a laundry list of lawsuits, but serious criminal charges too: sex trafficking, racketeering, prostitution, abuse. And now, Combs' high-powered legal team is asking for something unusual. They're demanding that prosecutors hand over the names of his alleged victims. Names prosecutors aren't so willing to give up. Why? Well, that's where things get really interesting. Some say Diddy's legal team is just trying to mount a fair defense. Others wonder, could this be a way to shift the narrative, cast doubt on the accusers, and maybe, just maybe, make the public look the other way? And if those names are released, how many lives will be left in ruin? Let's take a step back for a moment and set the scene. The allegations against Combs have built up slowly, starting with whispers, then transforming into a tidal wave of civil lawsuits. It began when his ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, accused him of years of physical and sexual abuse, a lawsuit that was quickly settled, but not before the world took notice. One by one, more accusers began stepping forward. Some alleged that Combs orchestrated freak-offs, wild parties involving drugs, alcohol, and coercion. Others accused him of rape, even trafficking. Most chilling? Many of these plaintiffs remain anonymous, hidden behind the names John and Jane Doe. Now, Diddy's lawyers say that's part of the problem. They argue that without knowing exactly who these accusers are, how can they defend him? In court filings, they insist that the government needs to disclose the names of these individuals, names they believe are critical to the preparation of their case. Without them, they say, Diddy is left playing a guessing game, forced to speculate which parts of his past are being dragged into the present. His attorneys claim that the accusations are either misunderstandings, consensual encounters, or worse, deliberate attempts to extort money. They frame the civil suits as opportunistic cash grabs, painting a picture of a celebrity under siege by people looking for a payout. But here's where things get even murkier. Prosecutors, led by U.S. Attorney Damian Williams, aren't buying it. Williams insists that revealing the victims' identities would put these individuals at significant risk of harassment, doxing, or worse. And with the media circus swirling around the case, it's not hard to imagine the kind of public scrutiny that would follow. Remember, these are people alleging serious sexual misconduct at the hands of one of the most powerful figures in entertainment. Releasing their names could deter other victims from coming forward, not just in this case, but in others like it. This battle between Diddy's legal team and the prosecutors is about more than just names. It's about control and power. Diddy's attorneys argue that knowing the accusers' identities would allow them to poke holes in the allegations. They say some of these accusers were regular participants in Diddy's wild, drug-fueled parties, freak-offs, as they're called, and that they joined willingly. The defense hints that the government's own evidence will show that some of these encounters were recorded on video, videos they say will prove that everything was consensual. No coercion, no threats, just consenting adults indulging in extravagant fantasies. But the government sees it differently. According to prosecutors, the videos tell a much darker story, a story where Diddy's charisma and wealth were used to manipulate and control. They say he didn't just organize these gatherings, he orchestrated them, using drugs and intimidation to push people into acts they weren't comfortable with. And then there are the phones, more than 90 cell phones, laptops, cloud accounts, and storage devices seized as evidence. Prosecutors claim these devices hold damning proof of the abuse, including communications with co-conspirators and video recordings from the so-called freak-offs. The defense wants to see that evidence too, especially if it contains exculpatory material, evidence that could prove Diddy's innocence or cast doubt on the allegations. They cite the landmark case Brady versus Maryland, which requires prosecutors to hand over evidence favorable to the accused. And they're not just asking for names, they're also demanding a full bill of particulars, a detailed list of every accusation the government is relying on to make its case. Without it, Diddy's attorneys say, it's like trying to fight a shadow. How do you defend yourself if you don't even know what you're defending against? There's another layer to this. The longer the accusers remain anonymous, the more the media frenzy grows. Diddy's team argues that the steady drip of new lawsuits is tainting the jury pool, turning public opinion against him before he's had his day in court. They call it trial by media. And they're not entirely wrong. In today's world, perception can become reality. Once allegations hit the press, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, no matter what the final verdict may be. Still, it's a delicate line to walk. Victim advocacy groups warn that forcing accusers to reveal their identities would send a chilling message. It could discourage survivors from coming forward, not just in high-profile cases like this one, but in everyday situations, too. They argue that anonymity is often the only protection victims have, and without it, justice becomes even harder to achieve. And then, there's the bigger question. What if the names are released and it turns out the accusations are true? What kind of message would that send, not just to these victims, but to every person who has ever considered coming forward with a story of abuse? And what if the accusations are false? What happens to the lives of those individuals publicly tied to a case that never should have involved them in the first place? These are the questions the judge will have to weigh carefully, knowing that the decision could shape the course of the trial and ripple far beyond it. Combs' legal strategy might seem aggressive, but there's more at play here. In their October 7th filing, his attorneys accused the prosecution of deliberately leaking damaging information to the press. They allege that the government has been feeding the media stories to poison public perception, making it impossible for Diddy to get a fair trial. The defense points to specific incidents, like the leak of surveillance footage from 2016 where Diddy was caught on camera assaulting Cassie. That footage was released to the press right as the new allegation surfaced. A coincidence or part of a broader strategy? And here's the kicker. If Diddy's team wins this fight and the names are released, the whole game changes. With identities in hand, they can begin to shift the narrative, casting doubt on the accusers and suggesting ulterior motives. If some of these accusers turn out to have had consensual encounters with Combs, or if they've previously filed other lawsuits, that could be enough to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of jurors. But there's a risk for Diddy, too. If the names are released and the accusers stand firm, if they tell their stories publicly with the same courage they've shown in filing these lawsuits, then the tide could turn even further against him. The narrative could shift from one of extortion to one of long overdue justice, with Diddy cast as a manipulator who used his fame and fortune to escape accountability for years. And what about the other victims? The ones who haven't come forward yet? The ones still deciding whether it's worth the risk? Will seeing their fellow accusers exposed and attacked keep them in the shadows or embolden them to step into the light? The trial is set for May 2025, but the fight over these names is just beginning. The judge's decision on whether to release the identities of the alleged victims will shape the course of this case. Will it tip the scales in Diddy's favor, giving his team the ammunition they need to tear apart the allegations, or will it only add fuel to the fire, convincing the public and perhaps the jury that the music mogul has something to hide? So, here we are, standing at the edge of a decision that could turn the entire case on its head. The request to release the alleged victims' names is more than just a legal strategy. It's a high-stakes gamble, one that could reshape not only the courtroom narrative, but also Diddy's entire public image. But the real question isn't just about Diddy. It's about the accusers, their anonymity, and the consequences that ripple outward if their identities are brought to light. For Diddy's legal team, the goal is simple: shift the story. They want to argue that the accusers hidden behind the veil of John and Jane Doe's have dubious motivations. His lawyers are preparing to make the case that these lawsuits are nothing more than cash grabs timed perfectly to coincide with Combs' legal troubles. And they have reason to push this angle hard. Just a day before the October 7th filing, six new civil suits were added to the growing list of allegations. Six more accusers with stories spanning decades came forward with claims of sexual assault and rape. The timing couldn't have been worse for Diddy. And perhaps, from his team's perspective, that's exactly the point. Diddy's attorneys argue that the release of the victims' names will allow them to investigate these individuals thoroughly. If they can find evidence of past financial motives or connections between the accusers, they could cast doubt on the integrity of the allegations. And doubt is all it takes. In a case where the evidence includes claims of consensual encounters and alleged manipulation, just a sliver of uncertainty can change the outcome entirely. But it's not just about the names, it's about what comes with them. If the court grants the request, the accusers won't just have their identities revealed to Diddy's legal team. The names will inevitably leak to the media. We've seen it happen before. The second those names become public, the accusers will find themselves under the unforgiving microscope of public scrutiny. Every aspect of their lives, their pasts, their motivations will be dissected and debated on social media, in tabloids, and on every news outlet eager for a new angle. And what of the broader implications? Victim advocacy groups are watching this case closely, knowing that the judge's decision could set a precedent. If Diddy's team succeeds in unmasking the accusers, it could make future victims of sexual assault think twice before coming forward, especially against high-profile figures. The fear of public exposure, retaliation, or harassment might outweigh their desire for justice. And that fear, it has a chilling effect. One that could silence victims, not just in this case, but in countless others to come. The prosecution, led by Damian Williams, is arguing fiercely to keep the accusers' names sealed. They believe the anonymity is essential, not only for the safety of the accusers, but for the integrity of the case itself. Williams has already hinted that the evidence against Diddy includes more than just testimonies. It includes videos, communications, and records from seized devices. But if these accusers are forced to go public, the focus will shift from the evidence to the individuals. And that shift could undermine the very foundation of the prosecution's case. Still, Diddy's defense isn't backing down. They've already laid the groundwork for their argument. This isn't about intimidation, they say. It's about fairness. How, they ask, can Diddy defend himself if he doesn't know who he's defending against? How can he counter claims if he doesn't even know which interactions are being questioned? For them, it's a matter of due process. But beneath that legal veneer lies something far more strategic, the hope that unmasking the accusers will sow enough doubt to shift the narrative in Diddy's favor. But here's where things get even more complicated. If the names are released and it turns out the accusers have credible, well-documented stories, the backlash against Diddy could be devastating. His team would no longer be able to argue that these are opportunists seeking a payout. Instead, the narrative would shift dramatically, painting him as someone who not only abused his power, but also tried to silence his victims through public exposure. On the other hand, if even one of the accusers has a questionable motive or a history of false claims, That could be enough to unravel the entire case. The defense doesn't need to prove that Diddy is innocent. They just need to introduce reasonable doubt. And in a case as high profile as this one, doubt has the power to sway public opinion just as much as it can sway a jury. It's a dangerous game, one that Diddy's team is willing to play. But it's also a game with no guarantees. If the court denies the request to release the names, the defense will face an uphill battle. They'll have to rely on the evidence alone, sifting through the mountain of data from Diddy's seized devices to find any cracks in the prosecution's case. They'll argue that the videos of the so-called freak-offs show consensual encounters, not coercion. They'll point to the testimony of others present at these parties, witnesses who claim the accusers participated willingly, indulging in the drugs and alcohol just like everyone else. The prosecution, meanwhile, will argue that consent under pressure isn't real consent. They'll frame Diddy as a manipulator, someone who used his influence to bend others to his will. They'll say that the videos don't tell the full story, that what looks consensual on the surface hides a deeper, more troubling reality. And then there's the looming specter of public opinion. The court of public opinion, as we know, often has a far louder voice than the courtroom itself. If the judge denies the release of the names, some will see it as a victory for victim protection. Others will call it a cover-up, a way to protect anonymous accusers from scrutiny. If the names are released, some will celebrate it as a win for transparency and fairness. Others will see it as a dangerous precedent, one that prioritizes the rights of the accused over the safety of the accusers. In the end, this isn't just a legal battle. It's a battle for narrative control. Diddy's team wants to shape the story around consent, opportunism, and media manipulation. The prosecution wants to focus on power, coercion, and abuse. And somewhere in the middle are the accusers caught between the desire for justice and the fear of exposure. As we look ahead to May 2025, when Diddy's trial is set to begin, the stakes couldn't be higher. The decision about whether or not to release the names of the alleged victims will set the tone for everything that follows. Will the release of those names shift the narrative enough to tip the scales in Diddy's favor? Or will it only add fuel to the fire, solidifying the prosecution's case and turning public opinion further against him? And here's the real question. If those names do come out, if the identities of these accusers are laid bare for the world to see, what will it mean for them? What will it mean for their safety, their reputations, and their future? And what will it mean for all the other victims out there, still deciding whether to step forward or stay silent? Well, here we are at the crossroads where law, fame, and truth collide. The allegations against Sean Diddy Combs are heavy. Sex trafficking, coercion, abuse, and his defense team's push for the release of his accusers' names has set the stage for a legal showdown that could shape more than just the verdict of his case. It's the kind of story that makes you wonder, how do you balance the right of an accused person to defend themselves with the need to protect those who claim they were wronged? There's no easy answer. The stakes are sky high, not just for Diddy, but for the accusers too. What happens if the judge agrees to release those names? For Diddy's team, it could be the turning point they need to cast doubt, shift the narrative, and reframe the accusations as misunderstandings or opportunism. But if the accusers go public, standing firm with their stories, it could backfire spectacularly. Public sympathy could turn swiftly, and Diddy's defense might find itself outmaneuvered by the court of public opinion, a court that, as we've seen, can deliver harsh sentences of its own. And that brings us back to the heart of the matter. This case isn't just about a famous music mogul and the people accusing him. It's about the choices we make as a society, who we believe, who we protect, and how much we value truth, even when it's messy. Will this case embolden others to come forward, or will it serve as a warning of what happens when you dare to speak out against the powerful? It's a question we'll all have to grapple with as the trial unfolds. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us as we continue to follow this case and the many others that challenge the way we think about justice. Press subscribe to keep up with the latest developments. And as always, thank you for listening.
Strap in and get ready to go back in time. Gen X Time Machine is here to transport you back to the glorious days of neon, big hair, and cassette tapes that always needed rewinding.
To figure out where Tupperware, went wrong, we kind of got to start at the beginning.
Remember when MTV actually played music videos? Or when lunch wasn't complete without Dunkaroos? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like trying to recapture the magic of a bygone era.
Yeah. We're diving into all that and more. So if you want to relive the 80s and 90s in all their retro glory, hit up Gen X Time Machine wherever you get your podcasts.
VHS is looking like the obvious winner, right?
Oh, and don't forget the rise of the video rental store, remember?
Subscribe, because who doesn't need another excuse to avoid adulting? You're welcome, the Gen X Time Machine.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.